The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Now, have you sat in traffic in Dublin, Galway, and particularly in Cork over recent years and thought to yourself, just how bad is this level of traffic? Is it sort of Los Angeles levels of congestion? Well, according to a new survey, it's pretty bad. Dublin appears at number one as one of the most congested cities in Europe. We've also got places like Edinburgh and London, but Cork is also in there, and Galway further back. So we have a major, particular and specific problem of traffic in our cities. So what's to be done about it? There seems to be a gradual sense of a build-up of pressure, or certainly a build-up of public support for some kind of congestion charge a la London. And today, that's where we're going to kick off the show to discuss what can be done, because as the restrictions on COVID were lifted, we've seen those old school peaks of traffic, not just at one or two times of the day, but also quite a big shunting of it into the middle of the day. The patterns are slightly changing. And joining me to discuss this is Sive O'Neill, who is a lecturer in climate policy and politics at DCU's School of Law and Government. And we also have Keith Gavin, who is the chairman of the Irish Parking Association. So both of you are very welcome to the Hard Shoulder.
Good afternoon, Emmett.
Sive, I'll come to you first and then we'll go over to Keith. I mean, I know that one of your views is, look, nobody likes congestion charges. Nobody's queuing up to get them. They're politically difficult and awkward, but we've kind of tried everything else. Is that where you're coming from?
Well, I don't think we have tried everything else. I think anyone who knows Irish cities knows that we need to scale up investment in public transport infrastructure. We need to allocate more road space to active travel, cycling and walking, and just generally improve the connectivity between all these modes. So there are many different kinds of measures we need to take, but the focus should be on getting cars out of cities. And the cost of congestion is a very good reason for that. A recent study by the Department of Transport estimated that the cost of congestion, which is effectively borne by us as individuals, caught up even if we're sitting in a bus or sitting in a car, could rise to up to about $2 billion by 2033. And that cost doesn't even, you know, take into account the environmental impact and the social impact.
But
it doesn't matter if the cars are all EVs, because congestion is a different kind of cost. It's a time cost. And, in the modern economy, connectivity and being able to get to and from places where you're transacting business or accessing public services is a key public service that we need to improve.
Sure. When you say we haven't tried anything yet, I mean, I suppose the current parking charges, they're pretty steep. I mean, so we have disincentivized travelling in by car to some degree. Your argument is essentially we haven't gone far enough, but it wouldn't be fair to say nothing has happened. We have made it awkward and expensive to come in cars.
Absolutely. It is expensive to park in Dublin, no question about that. But the reality is that these measures aren't really fundamentally addressing car dependency. And all of the last few decades, we've seen, you know, a lack of investment in public transport. And we've seen, you know, investments that are catering to more car ownership and facilitating that in terms of sprawling developments, lack of connectivity of public transport, and, you know, an assumption that everybody's going to get to and from everywhere they want to go by private car. And not only is that really bad planning and it's really unsustainable and it locks in certain patterns of development and economic activity, it's also highly inequitable. One of the studies that we conducted recently in DCU was on environmental justice, and we discovered very high rates of transport poverty, because wherever you prioritize a car, you're allocating road space in excess of what an individual effectively needs. And for people who can't afford that, they're either forced to own a car when they can't afford it, or they're locked out of public services.
So, Sive, can I ask you a sort of a simple question? Why do you think people choose a car rather than the alternatives? I presume you don't believe that they're willfully trying to kind of proactively damage the environment. There must be some underlying motivation that they do it. So what do you think that is?
Well, I mean, there's many reasons. There's, the sheer necessity of it to get around if you don't have alternatives. It's the fact that people are forced to live very far away from where they work or study due to the cost of housing. I mean, there are many, many obvious reasons for it. And there's also a kind of a status factor. I mean, very many people do live close to public transport in Dublin, particularly, who choose to drive because there's a kind of higher status associated with being able to move with your own vehicle as opposed to sharing a public transport option. Like about 35% of journeys are actually quite short. and they're about less than 8 kilometres. So they could be easily done by e-bike, bike, or even by walking if you were up to it, never mind public transport. But the reality is we're catering all the time for cars. We make our streets noisy. We are blocking access. It's unpleasant to be on the street. And any of the studies that have been done
if you
reallocate road space away from cars, and there's many different ways of doing that. Congestion charges are just one of them. Everybody benefits.
But you're conceding in your answer there that the settlement patterns mean there are a big chunk of people that don't have routes going to them. So there are a group of people that just don't have it, correct?
Well, there's plenty that can be done about that. The Committee on Climate Action produced a report last year recommending that, you know, there'll be a massive scaling up of transport, public transport services to all areas, all 850 settlements in Ireland, where you would have at least one service an hour, and these would be all connected up. And while that seems unimaginable to us, many parts of Europe have that level of public transport.
Can I just...
We've just neglected to invest in it.
Can I just clarify something else?
It's perfectly possible.
Sure. Can I just clarify one other thing? You're talking about private motor cars, presumably. But obviously a large chunk of that traffic is goods traffic moving into the city, deliveries, people moving bulky items. You can see them in the morning. I mean, big trucks, big vans. I mean, there's only so many things you can throw onto public transport, right? So you'd still have that flow, I presume. They'd have to be given some exemption or lower charge on the congestion charge. Is that the way you'd envisage it?
Well, I think there's lots of examples where we can look to cities that have introduced congestion charges, and that demonstrates that it's reduced the unnecessary traffic and freed up road space for more essential services. But at the same time, you don't want to give a free pass to commercial vehicles because they contribute to congestion as well. And there are sustainable alternatives. We need to be looking at the last mile or last 5 miles of deliveries so that deliveries into the city centre, and we're talking about the core centre. I mean, the congestion charge only applies in London for a 21 kilometres square area. Like, it's a very small area that's actually covered by it. And they're the areas that they want to prevent congestion building up. So you can incentivize e-deliveries. There's all kinds of trike and cargo bikes that are available now that can take quite a lot of load, but take up a tiny amount of road space and are very affordable for businesses to use. And you see those. You see them without there being a particular policy development.
Yeah,
they're happening anyway.
Sive, very interesting. Most people actually are agreeing with you on our text number, but the reservation is, well, a lot of stuff isn't in place already, so why not put that in place first? Which goes for the horse or the cart. No pun on that one here. But let me just bring in the second guest on this, because we haven't heard from him. Keith Gavin is the chairman of the Irish Parking Association. Keith, I mean, a lot of common sense stuff there from Sive. It has been tried elsewhere. It has managed to be an instrument of control of traffic in London. You know, you might say it didn't go far enough or it goes too far, but it does have an effect. So you can kind of have a way of tinkering up and down traffic volumes using this as the weapon of choice. What's your reservation about this, apart from the fact that your own business obviously would be damaged very obviously if we've less cars coming in?
Well, okay, Emmett, and thanks for having me on. Before I'm accused of coming from a point of total self-interest, I just think that some common sense needs to prevail before we start talking about congestion charging in Dublin City or in any of our other cities, for that matter.
Right, go on.
to compare us with London and the congestion charge regime in London is comparing apples with oranges. As we all know, London has a very sophisticated, integrated public transport system. But what we have available to the public in Dublin is not even close. And to start punishing people and penalising the symptom rather than tackling the cause of congestion, I think is very premature at this stage.
So if we
had
a Metro Link, or we had more frequent Darts or more frequent Lewis's, does that shift your opinion then? And you say, right, okay, we're better provided for, or is it just a philosophical or ideological objective you have?
No, absolutely. Look, if there is an effective and reliable alternative, I mean, we're just hearing announcement of Metro Link today, which they're talking about starting in 2025 and being available and for use in 2034, which is 12 years away. We still have a long way to go on that, Emmett. But I would just point out one thing. We already have congestion charging in Dublin. Now, it's not a direct charge, but the CEO of Dublin City Council himself is on public record as saying, we are going to implement congestion charging by stealth.
Via the parking fees, right? Hello? Sorry, I think we lost you briefly there. We lost you briefly just as you were reaching a crescendo.
Keith, your line's a bit wobbly. Stealth in Dublin City, where the traffic crossing the canals on a daily basis has reduced by about 30% in the last 10 years. But congestion is being created by a lot of these traffic control measures like additional bus lanes, bicycle lanes, etc. All you have to do is drive down the North Quays of Dublin City and you will see congestion charging in action.
Well, I mean, I suppose the opponents of that would say they're perfectly legitimate other road users. Why would we prefer just cars? We need to have all forms of transport, given what are essentially public spaces. You know, there has to be more equality there. If I can go back to Sive for a second. Sive, one of the things a lot of people are texting in are saying they like the idea. They think they can see that the rationale for it. But one of the big concerns is just simply diverting traffic from the city centre, just making the city centre unattractive. It has been absolutely walloped by COVID. You can just walk around here yourself and see boarded up shops all over the place. The city centre, that hub has been hit hard. And a lot of people lived a suburban existence for the last 2.5 years. They're out to the Dundrum Town Centre. They're out to Blanchardstown. So, you know, will people simply not just say, well, I won't drive the car into the city centre, but I'll just head out to one of the out-of-town outlet centres and do my shopping there? So you don't cure the problem and you just shift it from one place to another.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think that might be one of the reasons why the Committee on Climate Action recommended a kind of road pricing system as opposed to a congestion charge that would apply to all kilometres travelled. And a very small charge, they reckoned, would pay for that kind of scaled up rural and public transport system that I described earlier. But I just want to mention as well that when they were introducing the road congestion system in a pricing system in London, on the same day it was introduced, they launched 300 new buses. These systems don't work. They don't get the public support unless you can demonstrate that you're ramping up public transport. But thankfully, Bus Connect is happening. It's not just, you know, a plan anymore. It's happening. And people are going to see those improvements, I think, in Dublin. So I think we should embrace very radical solutions because we have very radical problems. And we shouldn't allow these issues to be hijacked or held hostage by people who have, you know, real estate investments
I think it's a fair point. We have pointed out where Keith's organisation hails from. They are car park operators. Okay, they still have an entitlement to the debate the subject, but yeah, we did point that out. So thank both of you, Sive O'Neill, who is a lecturer in climate policy and politics at DCU's School of Law and Government, and Keith Gavin, who is the chairman of the Irish Parking Association.
Your chance to win big. News Talks. Summer Cash Machine.
Now, the Summer Cash Machine is here and ready to go. Hand out more cash. This could make your summer quite simply the most memorable one in a long time. Caroline Marahan in Dublin was doing the shopping when Barry called her on Tuesday. She's now our sixth winner in a row. Stay tuned after 5 p.m. and I'll give you out the new amount that's relevant. Next up, we'll be talking about concussion in rugby.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4. On News Talk.